Bueno, welcome. Thank you so much for coming. This is Fabi, and she is the secretary at Teko Joja Kunya Rembia Pope, and I am the Good Shepherd volunteer. Teko Joja Kunya Rembia Pope in Guarani translates to justice for the woman in her work. And we are part of the Sisters of Good Shepherd International Network of Fair trade, artisan handcrafts.
Okay.
So that's us. And it's one of the many programs that the sisters have here.
Okay.
Our PowerPoint here is in Spanish, but I'll pretty much just talk in English. Sure. Heads up.
Okay.
I don't know how well they work, but anyway. Okay, so yeah. This says, I am the Good Shepherd. I came so that all would have life and life in abundance. That's our man, Jesus. This is called, here, everything that the sisters has. The name changes all the time, but for right now we're called the Instituto de Prevención del Delito Obra Social Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe. And I think I talked with some of you guys about how the sisters kind of globally have moved away from their older model of having homes for quote-unquote wayward girls and running prisons and more being in charge of, I don't know, punishment or reform or whatever, to doing more prevention. And so the sisters, when they moved out of the prison here, that's still called Good Shepherd in Asunción, they decided to work in prevention and so started the Escuela Taller, for example, with the young adolescents that were at, you know, high risk. And they started a Club de Niños, which has classes for children after school, outside of school hours.
So this is that kind of the big picture.
Yeah, and so our goal here in the center is programs of prevention. And then all the programs that we have that are part of prevention are the Escuela Taller, which I mentioned, the sponsorship program through Canada, where the kids get sent money for their education, for their health care, their uniforms, their school fees are paid, and then they also, well, I'll get to that in a minute. We have a sponsorship program for elderly people as well, which also helps them with health care, nutrition, stuff like that.
Do the sisters do that kind of as a whole group, or is that unique to this place?
That is more unique to here in Itagua, what the sisters do here. And then the new program that we have here is called, it's called Community Development. And we're doing that through something called Ollas Populares, which means, I mean, it means popular pot, but it's a program.
People's
pot.
Soup kitchen is how it's been.
Soup kitchen, yep. But the way it works is that the people are kind of grouped by families or neighbors, and then they come here and pick up their food for the week, and then they cook together either 3 or 5 days a week. And then...
Or common kitchens. Sometimes.
Common kitchens, yeah. And they choose somebody's house to cook in. And then through this, they're sort of using it as a way to organize people, and, you know, they do community meetings. They have education that goes out into the communities. They talk about, you know, self-esteem, about healthcare, about lo que sea. And so that's just started. That's got about a year. They started last June, and it's been growing quite a bit. There's a lot of communities here in Itagua that are very rurally poor, where there's no electricity, there's no water, there's no road that's decent to get to town. So that's another thing that they're in right now.
Otro.
Bueno. Here we have our mission. So the mission is oriented for towards people that are at risk, to help them leave situations of conflict and maintain well-being of their family, their social and family well-being. And then our values that we have is what we have here is the human person that obviously here we have a religious kind of orientation that everybody is a unique creation of God. And our our general objective is to work with the family as a whole. So like I said before, we the sisters left working just with the girls in the homes or just with the women in the prison to working with the family as a whole.
Okay, who's still?
So what is Teiko Jōja? It's a program that the sisters have for women who are rather poor, artisans, and we work with them to improve the quality of their products, and we sell all of their products through the international network of fair trade that the sisters have. We are based in the economy of solidarity. We are committed to the struggle against hunger, unemployment, and the exploitation of women and artisans. So these are the people that work with us. We have about 60 women that make either the nyanduti, embroidered clothing and tablecloths and things like that made out of aupoi. People that make crochet. We have a workshop of a men's workshop in Kaukupei that makes things out of leather. And then we have the people from the Maka community, and Roberto has come today to be with us. And they make some jewelry and some woven bags. And we have one family that makes all of our cocoa rings. And so a lot of the mothers, or a lot of the women that make our nyanduti are heads of households. They might have their daughters or their nieces helping them make the nyanduti, but they will come in and kind of represent their family or the women that they work with. Mm-hmm. So these some of the requisites to be a part of our group are coming to monthly meetings. They have to sign a contract with us. They have their, it says, my rights are, and my obligations are. So some of their rights are to receive a just price, to have the opportunity to dialogue about how much they want to charge for what they're making. It's one of the big things, I think that's one of the most important things that we do is that they come and they have a place where they can be heard. Fabi listens very patiently to many women and really tries to understand them and their families and their realities. These are what we use to make the nyanduti. This is thread that is made in the Pilar factory in Pilar. It's one of the departments in Paraguay. And the way it works is the women, these are other materials that we have, the women come and they have to pay for all their materials, but they have kind of like a cuenta, like an account, yeah. So they can take their materials and kind of pay little by little. And then here we have a picture of some of our artisans. These two girls are daughters of one of our artisans that are learning to make nyanduti. Almost all the children here, almost all the girls learn nyanduti in school, and it's part of their dance lessons too.
Part of the
folklore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then below is our artisan Lucia, and she pretty much lives off of Nyandu tea. She makes so much Nyandu tea that it supports herself and her three children, and two of them are now in the university. And that's the bastidor that they're making. It's the hand loom that they're making the Nyandu tea on. And they will first sew it onto, they first work over linen, and then afterwards they take that off of the bastidor.
Sorry, what is
Nyandu tea? Nyandu tea is a lace.
It's like multicolored lace stuff that you see. It means spider web. It's in Guarani.
And
that's how they make it. They start working it over a cloth.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you see somebody actually making it?
Lucia? Yeah, one of our artisans is going to come and hopefully bring her bastidor. Lucia, yes. She lives close by. They stretch the fabric over the hand loom and then sew the thread. They either use thick thread or fine thread, and the fine thread is like sewing thread. And so they sew, they trace their designs onto the fabric and then sew over it.
So they sew through the fabric or over the fabric?
Over the fabric.
Okay, so the fabric is only like a pattern underneath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
They don't use the fabric at all, then they remove it off. Okay.
Right. They put starch from the yuca over it. They wash it, wet it, and then put the starch over it, and then it dries in the sun, and that's how it stays hard. And then they cut away the fabric. These are the places that we are present in. We have the leather workshop in Kaukupe.
We have leather Kaukupe.
The women in Ajoles make aupoi embroidery. We have women from Capiatá, Asunción, Aregua. In Aregua, we work with some French fashion designers, and we sell them Nyandu tea. Some of their stuff is sold in Unicentro and in France, and I think in the States. And then we have women from all over Itagua, from all of the neighborhoods in Itagua. And Roque Alonso is where the macaque community is.
In Kaapuku, what do you make in Kaapuku?
¿Qué hacemos en Kaapuku?
Bordado, con la...
embroidery.
Embroidery?
Porque antes las hermanas tenían una comunidad ahí y ayudaba a las mujeres a trabajar.
And this is where our stuff is sold throughout the world. Our biggest orders come from Australia and New York. And then we have smaller orders that go out to Italy and the Netherlands and so on. And so we kind of work on the orders little by little and then send what we have, and then they send the money. And then that way we're able to have the women make more to pay. Because as soon as the women bring in their work, we pay them.
Mostly
in Los Angeles, and then everywhere we can find a parish with people with money. Redondo Beach. They do church fairs all throughout.
Okay.
Right. So the sisters there, the way they work is there's two kind of central offices in New York and then in California. And then from there, every weekend, the big rush is always before Christmas. So they'll go out to a different parish, and the sisters will talk about the experiences of the women in whatever country. They're in 21 countries all over the world. And then the people after Mass come and hopefully buy a lot of stuff.
Maybe. Well, there's a variety of things at that point.
Yeah.
It's from all of this.
It's from 21, they're in Africa, Asia, and South America. Is where the goods come from. And so this is how we work towards the millennium goals, to eliminate poverty, hunger and extreme poverty, and to promote the equality
between the genders and the autonomy of the woman.
Thank you. And these are some of our values, respect, dignity, honesty, gratitude, self-esteem, solidarity, values we talk a lot about in our monthly meetings with the women. This is us in our office and with our friend from Kaukupe who makes our leather goods. We are on Facebook. You can find us at Tegojoja Kunya Renvia Pope and friend us. And there's lots of pictures of our products and our artisans. And then Handcrafting Justice in the States has their own webpage, and that's this one down here, handcraftingjustice.cedrus.org. But you can also just Google Handcrafting Justice. And you can order stuff from their page too.
What's Handcrafting Justice? Is that
it's the name of the international network of fair trade that the sisters have in the States.
The Sisters of the Point Festival. Okay.
Yep. And then in Europe it's called Sharing Fair, and in Australia it's called Trading Circle. Oh,
hola,
yeah.
Lucia.
Yeah.
Acabamos de ver.
Gracias por venir.
Acabamos de ver tu voto. Sí.
Y what else? So. Oh, and then the Sisters of Good Shepherd, their Handcrafting Justice, this organization, is its own NGO, and they also have their Fair Trade mark with the, what is it called, Fair Trade Federation.
And it's based out of New Jersey?
Out of New York.
Yeah.
And they're in Astoria. That's more people that work at Handcrafting Justice in New York, more sisters. This is one of their sales in New York. This is the Trading Circle. It's the same network, but it's what Australia calls it. They have stores in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, and so on. This is one of their stores in Melbourne. I think she's in Sydney. This is another place in Australia that they have a store. This is at the Generalit in Italy. They do sales out of there too. And then these are some of our artisans. These are more of our artisans and their homes. These are all artisans from Itagua, these pictures. No, there's 20 other countries that participate.
Oh, but it's also being made at some of those other companies. Pueblos that were mentioned on the map. Kaukupe, Kaukupu.
Okay, right. So it's not just
but the majority,
yeah.
Nyanduti is native to Itagua. And so
okay.
The majority of our Nyanduti comes from right here in Itagua.
And that's what this is called,
Nyanduti?
Yes. That's native to this town.
That?
Yes. This is the home of Nyanduti, Itagua. Maybe we could listen to Lucia for a few minutes. She's one of our all-star artisans. And she works in Ilofino, or fine thread, and thick thread. So she does, she'll talk about it.
Lucia, si quieres hablar un poco y lo puedo traducir si hablas un poco lento.
Hasta que la pregunta.
I make Nyanduti in fine thread.
Yo empecé a hacer desde la edad de 7 años.
I started making it when I was 7 years old.
Mi trabajo es hacer de todo, viste, ya sea toda clase de que sea para.
I make everything for application for clothing.
Me encanta hacer.
I love making it.
Gracias a Dios también a este grupo, viste, la que se está acá, el grupo que forma.
que hacemos acá.
So, thank God for the sisters who have this program and that I have work through Tego Rodaku, Miara, and Miapope.
Solo yo lo que hago en hilo fino, lo demás hacen en hilo grueso, que es otro hilo, ¿no?
Lucy is one of the few women that makes it in fine thread because it is more difficult and it's tougher on the eyes.
Acá tengo, ¿viste? El proceso que yo armo en un batidor así, o sea, que la madera, preparo todo y dibujo y después hago, ¿no? Cuando termino le saco la tela y después lavo y le pongo el almidón para que se pueda endurecer, ¿no? Para formar realmente una carpetita.
So she's explaining a little bit about how it works and like I was saying before, she does first the drawings on the fabric and then will sew over it. Like as you can see, none of the thread has come through the back. Some of it, I mean, but the majority of it. And then this one, she has begun to cut out the fabric.
Oh, I see. So you literally.
And then this will come away, and it'll be kind of like a starched doily that.
So the cloth then is discarded.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't reuse the cloth. The cloth is just used as the base of which to do it,
mm-hmm.
and
it's
then cut it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a linen that, and we buy the linen in bulk, and
yeah.
then they
yeah.
just come and pick it up from us. And she's making, Lucia is making, these will be pieces that will later be put on, there's this French fashion designer, like I mentioned, in Aregua, and they make all kinds of funky clothes and put these applications into the museum. Some of the stuff is really, really beautiful, depending on your taste. So she is able to support her family completely by what she does, making it continue.
Y Lucia, ¿tienes tres hijos, verdad?
Sí, tengo tres hijos. Realmente me doy gracias a este trabajo que hago estudiar. Y yo me dedico solamente a tejer. Me dedico totalmente a esto.
Y Liz es... her daughter Liz is a nurse here at the Obra Social. And
tu hijo que está
estudiando ahora para el laboratorio también.
Ah.
He's studying to work in like a medical lab. And she's got
hace también en la rutilla, hace viste, me ayuda bastante. Los tres hijos míos me ayuda en todo. Me hacen, me quitan todo, viste, un grupo de familia.
Her youngest is 10 years old and she's in the 6th grade. She also knows how to make Nyanu tea. And all of her children help with the Nyanu tea making process. There are times when we have to say to Lucia, please, can you get this order done for us very quickly because of whatever. And they stay up late, they all work together. Her son helps wash it and get it off the bastidor, and her daughters both help her with the weaving.
She's a single mom?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I heard her say something about how thanks to Evoluja Cunha Miapope, she also has sister Nyanduki and embroidery maker. So she was talking about working with her other, not her necessarily her sister by blood, but her fellow co-workers. So she enjoys working with other women also.
Y no sé, inicialmente la leyenda cuenta que el Ñanduti, el primer Ñanduti había hecho una señora de su cabello, imitando la telaraña, y luego las mujeres de Itagua empezaron a tejer con el hilo fino. Porque se dice que antes solamente eran hilo fino Ñanduti y luego por problemas de vista y otras cosas y por la facilidad para poder tener un ingreso más empezaron a implementar en hilo grueso.
Sí.
So Fabio was just explaining about the legend behind Nyandutin. Mm-hmm. It's a legend that supposedly two indigenous boys were competing for the affection of a princess.
Yeah.
And they were both looking for the perfect gift. And one night a boy went for a walk and he supposedly looked up to the heavens and pleaded for God's help. And he saw a spider web and he thought it was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. And when he went to go grab it, it just came down in his hands. And so he went to his grandmother and told her what happened and was crying. And so the grandmother and the boy went back to the woods and saw that a new spider web was there. And so the grandmother used her white hair to make the first Nyandutin. And then so the originally Nyandutin was made only out of the fine thread. And then because of vision problems, it's very difficult to make in fine thread, and because of, just to make it more easier and to kind of,
commercialize
and expand production, they started making it out of fine thread as well.
How long of a history does it have?
Pardon?
How long of a history? When did it start?
Her mother has 70 years old, and she learned from her aunt way back, and so nobody's sure, but they think a couple hundred years.
I read in a history book of Paraguay once that in the years of Dr. Rodriguez de Francia, he was very autocratic, and he decided this city is going to devote itself to this. This city, he was dividing up the country into his little fiefdom. And he picked Itagua to be Nyandutin, and I know that he picked Carapeguá to do the blankets and así. Lo que leí en un libro de historia, y no sé si es la verdad, pero era en el libro de historia, porque sea lo que sea, de que en la época de Dr. Rodríguez de Francia, que él era muy autocrático, sí o no, no o sí, entonces. Y él dijo, tal pueblo, yo decido, dedicarán a hacer tal cosa y otro a hacer otra cosa. Y eligió a, dice que, no sé el por qué, pero eligió a Itagua, que solamente, que en ese lugar va a dedicar esto. Y yo recuerdo que Carapeguá iba a dedicar a las casadas y así era. Pero Itagua tenía la suerte que le nominó para algo tan bello, completamente bello.
So when would that have been that he was?
Rodríguez de Francia estaba en el poder en como 1800.
About 1810 to about 1840.
So our PowerPoint is not one to turn back on, but it was basically just the other pictures that we had were of our products.
Could I ask two more questions?
Sure.
How do you establish the wages for the artisans, for the women, and how is the income handled that comes in from the sales that you do internationally?
Sure. If you saw when you guys were coming in that there are a lot of artesania stores over the ruta.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, the way that the artisans sold their work was to make something and bring it to a store, and then they paid whatever. We generally try to pay, we call the stores, we go and visit, we ask around. and we try to pay 2 to 3 times what they pay at those stores. Also, a big part of it is just talking with the artisans and saying, how much do you want for this? How much should this cost? And it's after that, I mean, we kind of establish prices and they become more set. But in the beginning, there's always, if it's a new product, if it's something that we haven't made before, we always talk about how much it's going to cost, how much time it takes to make, and stuff like that.
You've never been able to do conclusive, like, time studies to set a just wage?
No. The way it works is that the women come in, and we might get, say we get an order from New York for, say, 50, we call them posa platos, a round piece about this size. And so we might say to each woman that they can make 2.
Yeah.
And they have 2 weeks to do it. Because some women work faster, because some women work slower, the advantage of this is that they can be in their homes, they can, you know, do all of the things that have to get done in their houses, and in the afternoons perhaps, or in the mornings, whenever they have time, work on, pick up their, you know, like Lucia is doing now, when she has a few minutes, work on it. So we set a price. When they bring in the 2 things that they've made, they'll get, you know, we decide each woman gets equal. Obviously, we pay equally for each piece.
And the income, how is that distributed?
So when we get paid, since we pay ahead of time, when the women bring in their work, say we have to fill this order of 50 pedido or 50 pieces of Nyandu tea, the women will bring in their work and they get paid right away.
As they deliver it.
Yeah. And so they take away maybe 100 mil every 2 weeks or something like that. And we always try to distribute it as equally as we can. Lucia gets a lot more work because she does fine thread. And some women will say, I can't make 2. I don't have time. Can I just take 1? And we say, sure, you know, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Or if someone's, you know, someone might say, my husband's having surgery this month and we need the extra money. Can you please give me more? You know, there's always kind of that. We try to be as fair as possible. But
it's a matter of distributing the work, really.
Yeah. And so when income, we put a couple warranty, I would say, on each piece before we send it to the States. But our office, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of overhead, luckily, because we work out of a bigger institution.
Mm-hmm.
And Fabi's the one with a sueldo, with a salary.
On the map of distribution,
mm-hmm.
the arrows going up in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
One that went apparently to Minnesota.
Oh yeah.
Said nuevo. That mean do you mean by that simply that it's a new contact, or does that nuevo represent something in Minnesota or in that area?
I would assume that it means this was a map that the sister made, and she might not have known how to label the city so well. But we do have sales going on now in Minnesota that are newer.
I'm interested because I'm on the board of Global Gifts in Indiana.
That's right.
And as far as I know, we have no Paraguayan products.
Well,
yeah.
We'd be more than
happy. But it's pushed by Mennonite Church primarily in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're distributing in Minnesota, that gives me hope that they may show up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can make it show up.
That's right.
And do you have contact with CERV? I know it's 1,000 villages and CERV.
I know that out of New York, they sell wholesale. We have 1 wholesale order right now. I don't know if it's going to 10,000 villages, but I do know that some wholesale things go to 10,000 villages. But CERV, no, I don't think we work with them.
Are you looking to expand, or are you pretty much maxed out in terms of what you can produce? Or
the... I wouldn't say that we're necessarily maxed out. The stumbling block always is that we have to pay the women ahead of time, but then there's this lag time until we get enough things together to put them in a box, ship them, and then get a check, or not a check, and then get a bank transfer here.
Yeah.
And so that's always kind of, last year we had just an explosion of orders.
Oh.
And it wasn't that we didn't have people that wanted to work, it was that we didn't have money to pay them as soon as they came in.
Yeah.
As soon as their work came in, so it's something that
basically what you need are people to give you short-term loans to cover that deficit, which is always a problem. Yeah.
And I've looked into it. Supposedly, there is availability of loans if you can prove that you have a foreign order, but some of the turnover with the sisters and some organizational issues have kept us from following through with that.
It's not a perfect world yet.
It's not a perfect world yet.
It's getting better. Yeah,
darn
what
close.
You're doing.
May I ask another question?
Sure.
Is child labor an issue here? Because that is sometimes an issue with fair trade producers, that what is exploitative child labor and what is like positive encouraging children? What is just like simply household production techniques that have always existed?
Sure, well, I would say that hopefully what sort of guards against that would be that the children are the children of our artisans that are helping, you know, and that, yes, it is encouraged in most places in Itagua that children learn to make ñanduti, that, you know, they learn to put together, this is called a basidor, to put together their hand loom so that they can use it in their folk dancing classes and all that. I have not, in going to the women's houses and visiting, which I do fairly often with Bobby, I have not ever come across instances of a child being forced into, being punched in the corner, making ñanduti for hours. But it wouldn't be to say that it couldn't ever happen.
Yeah, I have a question also. My question is for Lucia, is how does she come up with the designs, or are these the designs that have been handed down from generation to generation?